Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the lastminute.com Group Investor Call. I am Maria, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Nicolò Bossi, Head of Investor Relations of lastminute.com Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining our first half 2016 Investor and Analyst Conference Call, where the focus will be on both showing our financial results and giving an overview of the implementation of our evolved business model. Then we will have an update of our full year 2016 guidance, released, as you know, back on 9 May 2016. We will conclude with a Q&A session open to all people connected. Here with me, Fabio Cannavale, our CEO, and Francesco Ghirardotti, our CFO. As a general statement, I remind you to take a look at the disclaimer on page 3 and on the importance of being cautious in the evaluation of forward-looking statements included in this document. Now, I let Fabio Cannavale start with the key messages.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just a brief introduction on the mission of the group. You know that after the acquisition of lastminute.com, we have embraced the concept of being an inspirational travel company. We think innovation and implementation of comprehensive and diversified business model are key to bring value to the whole customer journey, as well as to deliver relevant content addressed to the widest and well-targeted audience possible. The shift from a transaction-based model to a mixed auto meta and then deployment of a travel and media concept is the way we think will be the right one to achieve all our ambition. Moving to slide 6, we can see that we are on track to fulfill all the targets that we set for the year. We said 2016 is a year of consolidation. We fully implemented the organization and the new operating model. We completed with the first successfully semester the integration of Last Minute and the new business model with integration of the management of meta flights and flights. And with this completion, also we have, as we announced this morning, the leaving from the company from Francesco Signoretti, that we thank very much to be very successful to the consolidation of our company and the integration of Last Minute. And so we think that now the organization is well organized to complete our business strategy. Then this year we had, as we declare, a strong focus on profitability. Last year was a year of consolidation. This year we have a consolidation of the organization, as we said, and also a clear focus on leveraging on the most profitable business models. So margins are significantly above our expectation, and as we forecasted, transaction volume is down as we are looking more at the media model. The customer is the core of our strategy. We have an ongoing process to improve our customer experience. On that, a lot of that part is technology, so it's not only a question of having good customer support, but the real difference is having the best customer experience will be done by technology. We are working very hard on that. We have the new application, the new app, and all the new systems that are in beta testing. And so we think with the second part of the year and the first part of next year, we can have all the tools to really give the best customer experience to our customer. Then we said audio-centric approach. So we really change all our marketing view to prepare this new shift. And this we have already in the first part of the year, the very good results with media sales up, with audience up. And then also in the second part of the year, we have new initiative to go further on this direction. Then if you look, as you said, if you go to page 7, so we started in, if you look in the graphic below, from 2013, being a company totally focused on the OTA business, online travel agency. Then we understood that in the future, the real a real player should be a media and travel company, where there is a very important part also to giving to our audience the right information. And so we succeeded in increasing the revenue from not online travel agency, not OTA, from 5% and from 13% of in the last years to almost 19%, almost 20% in the first part of the year. This is thanks to a very strong growth in the media business that almost doubled from the year before, especially increasing a lot the presence outside France, where I was born. As you know, our meta business is just cost, and we are using the same technology also with other brands. And we are now growing very fast also in Spain, Italy, Germany, and even US. And on the other hand, we are growing our unique visitors, our audience, that is now up to 43 million, up 23% versus the starting of the year. And we are growing even more our media advertising collecting. And so on that, we are fully on our target to increase all this media part. I give now the word to our CFO, Francesco Guidotti, to have the explanation of our numbers.
Hi, thank you, Fabio, and good afternoon to everybody. I'm really pleased to present this very good set of results for the first half of 2016. As we anticipated during our May guidelines, we were expecting a strong rebound in profitability thanks to cost efficiency as a result of restructuring and replatforming having occurred in late 2015, and thanks to the implementation of a new marketing model. Looking at the results of top-line growth, we are growing 8.2%, reaching 133.2 million. Aligned, and thanks to positive effects coming from meta and media growth, partially thanks to perimeter change, which has been partially offset by OTA performance, as we will see in the next slide. Generally speaking, all the cost lines are showing very good efficiency compared to the year before, also taking in consideration that perimeter is changing because first 2 months of old last-minute perimeter was not included in 2015 results. So in terms of marketing costs, we have a significant cost reduction on OTA business, which is the effect of an increased marginal efficiency. HR costs are, are including the effects of the restructuring program on which we focused on 2015 and have been partially offset by the reinvestment we have done also this year, also during the first 6 months in talent sourcing. Other costs, meaning G&A, fixed and other, are decreasing thanks to the implementation of the new model and have been, once again, partially offset by perimeter change and some cost increase related to Atoll and other. The effect, the combined effect of all these items is an increase in terms of EBITDA adjusted results reaching 17.3 million compared to the 2.8 million. Percentage-wise, we are talking about the results which is 13% on total net revenues versus 2.3% of last year. In terms of adjustment after the EBITDA results, we still have and we have anticipated also this effect during our last call in April last year, March last year. We still have some adjustment or one-off costs that are related to restructuring, which are referred to the reorganization of 2015. So finally, the EBITDA reported stood at 14.7 million compared to the 0.8 of last year. Going to slide 10, here we try to figure out different situation for the evolution of net revenues. So, generally speaking, travel and leisure is the trend of travel and leisure is positively affected for sure by perimeter change, but mostly by the dynamic package good performance. Our direction in the coming months is going to be continue to invest to address very good set of products in terms of a dynamic package and to recover the hotel only business, which is the hotel business, which is the only one which is underperforming compared to our expectation. Meta situation is very healthy, so jet cost is confirming to be a successful model and has been supported by relevant marketing investment which bring the brand to show a plus 114% compared to the same period of last year. So direction for the next month is going to be trying to diversify by geography and continue to maximize return on investment and confirming the sharp growth trajectory. Flights. Actual situation is a decrease in revenues mainly due to lower marketing expenditure, trying to focus on profitable booking only. So direction for next month is going to be we will increment plans trying to still be on track on uplift conversion rates and restart the growth path. Going to slide 11. Once again, I think good news in terms of net financial position. You can see that the comparison between 2015 and 2016, the main changing item is related to trade working capital. As you probably remember, we consolidated first-time numbers of last-minute all perimeter in March last year, so the net financial position of first half was, including a non-common effect of working capital requirements, which shown plus 60 million in the first half of 2015, which is shown a much more, a comprehensive number for 2016, plus 2.4. Operating activities in reality are showing plus 11.6 million, which is very good news thanks to the run rate path of cash producing. Investing activities and financing activities are burning something like 7 million euro, bringing the net increase in cash to 4 million. Studying the cash at end of June 2016 at 68.5 million plus financial asset, which have been mainly unchanged compared to the year end 2016. So the net financial position at end of June is 71 million. Going to slide 12 and looking at the net income after EBITDA reported, we have D&A, which due to the change of perimeter are increasing compared to the first half 2015. So the plus 27.3 is mainly, caused, is mainly affected by the change of perimeter. EBIT, so earning before taxes and interest, is stood at 9.1 million compared to the minus 3.6 of last year. Net financial effects are affected by the strong negative effect coming from the pound depreciation after Brexit situation. So those are mainly related to unrealized losses for the revaluation of outstanding balance in GB pound. And profit before taxes reached 5.6 million compared to the minus 1.8 of last year. Tax rate is decreasing thanks to some efficiency we have bringed in the new structure. And so finally, the earning after taxes stood at 4.1 million compared to the minus 4.2 of last year. So and total income after, let's say, currency translation difference is 5 million compared to the minus 4.5 of last year, plus 211%. Here I want to outline that in some cases we have noticed how in some press releases this number has been misunderstood, showing only plus 11%. It's not the case, it's plus 211%. So I leave Fabio to continue in the business review analysis.
So we have been able to achieve great results in a very short period, well above market and our expectation. We are convinced that we are moving in the right direction to build a sustainable and innovative business model, leveraging on all our key assets. So we are focused again and for the next period on profitability. That is still a priority. We think there is also space to do a further optimization of especially the marketing expenditures. And also in the structure, we haven't yet finished all the optimization. Then the customer experience. Customer experience is the core of our IT development roadmap. At the end, in our business, what will make the difference in the future for us is how good will be our application, mobile site, website. This, at the end, in a company like us, we are a revenue-driven company, and we are driven by the quality of our services. So this is the key for our future. Is in the last years, we had less space to really implement all our ideas because we all our team were very busy in the integration first of Rumbo and then of lastminute.com. Now, since 1 year, we are really focusing on that. And so we think that in the next semester and the next beginning of next year, we'll have fully in place all the new system and new technology that we are developing that can really make the difference for us. Then we have this audio-centric approach that we want really to change, and we are changing the old media model. We have a very, very strong and new organization in the media that deliver very strong results already in this first semester. We implemented very quickly our new DMP to really sell all our advertising and to have really to be able to offer to our investors and advertisers the good and focused target group for the investment. So this is really going very well, and we are very positive that also on that we can proceed. On this, we are really also, doing a big step, acquiring new kind of audience, creating new content, and so this model will even become more important in our space and our mix of the revenue. Then, of course, innovation is for us key. We are leveraging on our very healthy financial position, plus a very healthy P&L where we are producing a lot of cash to support innovation in two ways, from organic investment, so we are not stopping any of the innovation that we need to have to develop sites, to get the best talent. In this last semester, we had really a few key talents that joined the company from UK, from Germany, from Italy, so we are really in a good position to attract the best talent. And also, we have a very active activity in the M&A, so we think also we will do innovation with extraordinary initiatives, and we have something that is already done, or in terms of the pipeline, like the joint venture with Intesa with Destination Italia, and other things that are in the pipeline, and we think also that it's very important for us to leverage on our very strong position and our very strong team that are demonstrating in the last year with three very successful acquisition and integration
I repeat, we did Rumbo, and then we did the Jet Cost, and then last minute in the row as major acquisition, and then some of smaller. So we have a very solid track record in that, and we have a very, very strong team in this activity, very active. There is a lot of opportunity in Europe, and also on that, we think we can deliver very good results. We think we demonstrated that is a business where there is in Europe consolidation, and we can be, as we have been in the last 4 years, a consolidator. We see every day a lot of opportunity. It's a business of knowledge, product capacity, and size. We have all these three, and so acquiring new company can even leverage more on our skill and assets. Then I give the word to Nicolo Bossi, our investor relations, to give you also an update on our guidance.
Yes, thanks, Fabio. I take all these positive messages that both Fabio and Francesco brought to us to say that we are really confident to deliver against our targets and market expectations. We think that our first half results are a bold and positive message to all people that sometimes were critical versus the ability of the management to make this model working and sustainable. So according to such confidence, we decided to lift our full year 2016 guidance, moving up the adjusted EBITDA target from above 25 million to above 27 million. All other indicators remain at the moment unchanged. As you can see, apart from revenue, where we initially set a qualitative target and not a quantitative one, because we were focused on profit and we would like to focus the attention of our audience on profit, all other metrics are well above market consensus. We now trade far below industry average, so we think there are several triggers to see at our business case as very interesting and valuable. So I repeat the guidance, which is above 27 million adjusted EBITDA on yearly basis, the adjusted EBITDA margin above 10%, a positive net financial position at plus 75 million, which does not include, of course, potential extraordinary investments that we can execute in the second part of the year, and the revenue increasing versus last year, which is unchanged, as we said. So I now leave Fabio concluding this presentation with a message, and then we can open the Q&A session.
Okay. Let me close the presentation of our conference with a very sincere thanks to Francesco Signoretti, who is leaving the company to pursue other professional opportunities. Francesco contributed to evolve the business since 2010, and has been a key actor of the consolidation process we have been realizing with Rumbo first, JetCost, and then Last Minute, and also a key person for our process of the IPO. We have now concluded the most challenging integration of our history with Last Minute, and we've been able to do it with such an efficient and fast manner. It's also because Francesco brought an extraordinary effort in it. Francesco was responsible of flight and meta business since late 2015 and realized the convergence between the two models. Now we are at the end in the condition to leverage this step forward and continue the project started with Francesco. So we thank Francesco and we hope that our business path can be together again maybe in the future. With that, I conclude this presentation and I leave space for the questions.
Our first question comes from Nicolò Pessina, Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions. First of all, I'm wondering if you could give us a rough idea about the breakdown of growth between organic growth and external growth, the contribution of the first 2 months of the last minute. Secondly, I'm wondering now that the restructuring of the operations at last minute have been completed, which kind of cost reduction we can expect going forward, and what are the key drivers along this line? And finally, I'm wondering whether the targets that you provided to us at the end of 2014 in terms of revenues at 300 million and EBITDA margin at 18% should be still considered as valid.
Okay, Francesco speaking. So in terms of breakdown, it's very, very hard because the point is that platforms are now fusioned, so it's really not possible to have even a rough idea of what is coming from all perimeter, if you want to call it this way, coming from BravoFly, Rumbo Group, and coming from last minute old structure. So it's very, very difficult. It's basically not possible to distinguish in the right or even approximately who is doing what and what is coming from. So I'm sorry, but I'm not really able. What the flavor I can try to pass is, generally speaking, with one exception, which is linked to hotel and in some cases to flight, all the parameters are increasing. All the indicators are increasing in terms of net revenues. So even if I'm not able to distinguish, in reality, we can assume that on a constant perimeter base, we are in any case growing. In terms of restructuring cost, it's a good question. There are a lot of drivers for additional efficiency in the sense that, first, we are continuing to improve our efficiency in marketing investment, so the return on investment we are experimenting in the first 6 months is improving compared to the year before, and the first flavor of the third quarter is, let's say, showing the same trend. So we can logically expect, and we expect in our estimation to continue this improvement, as well as we are expecting to continue to increase and to make additional efficiency and operating costs linked to sales on a unitary base cost. In terms of
your third question, so which is the guidance for the next year, which at the end is our strategy decision. So we are today, for the moment, let's say the answer is for the moment is unchanged officially. We are now in the process to do a 3-year strategic plan. We see that the company is very healthy and a good profitability above 10% and with a very, very good cost and revenue structure. So we are analyzing the opportunity, considering what we are going to do, what will be the M&A strategy, which is the opportunity we have, which is the most sound strategy for the company for a long-term success. As we always said, we are long-term oriented, so we want to build one of the leading travel and media company in our sector, in the lifestyle sector in Europe. And so together with our board, we are going to present before the end of the year the strategy for the next 3 years, and we will decide if we will be focused more on, let's say, short-term profitability or maybe investing more in further the integration, acquisition of the company, developing new products, and we have to decide exactly what to do. So let's say for the moment we keep this long-term view that we had, and we, as long as we have a new strategy, of course, if we have any different targets, we are going to communicate to the market.
All right, it's very clear. Just a very quick follow-up on the cost reduction. Would you say that labor costs will be also a driver in improving profitability in the next years?
Yeah, I mean, this is also connected for what I said. So if you look at the natural way of, let's say, restructuring, yes. So we are facing a further, in the next semester, a further cost reduction. All our point is how much we want to invest in also new resources. So the point is to maintain the business as it is. We have a lot of further space of reduced people, and this is the consolidation that we are doing. On the other hand, we are investing in new resources to develop this business. So exactly how much will be one versus the other, it depends also on our decision. So the natural way is the cost reduction. The investing is something that we decide also looking at the results, the opportunity, and the trend of our business.
Okay, many thanks.
Next question comes from Christian Fosterottier, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, thank you. Just a couple of questions from me. In terms of your guidance, specifically looking at H2, you're guiding at 27 million adjusted EBITDA for the full year. And given H1 results, this would suggest a lower EBITDA for H2. So I'm just curious why that would be, since you'd assume that Q3 would be seasonally stronger. And then also touching on the cost point, in terms of your marketing costs, you've mentioned a 42% target in this context, and they were obviously coming down in H1, but you saw the flight bookings number go down. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on your new marketing model that you're discussing, and if you think the current percentage of costs, marketing costs, the percentage of revenue is sustainable going forward.
Okay, yes, implicit second half results are apparently conservative if we are looking at the guidance we are disclosing today, because we are implicitly saying that the second part of the year will result with 10 million EBITDA adjusted. We decided consciously this year to be, let me say, somehow conservative in the guidance, because we want to keep a sort of room to do what Fabio said before, so the possibility to decide to invest more in technology, innovation, talent sourcing during the period, and so having much more room to achieve this kind of target. So it's not a matter of thinking at declining performance in the second half. It's just a matter of saying that we are looking for managing this kind of innovation budget in a flexible manner. And so I would say that this is the approach that we forward.
For example, to be say, to disclose something that is public, we are doing a big investment in a talent show in both in X Factor in both UK and France. This is an innovative way, let's say, to sponsor a TV show. It's a test, of course, but of course, as any test, it costs money. As the results are very good, encouraging in the first semester, we put that, of course, is in the budget, but we are spending less of the budget, so there is some space. But we are doing some initiative to test for the future what could be the effect of this kind of new initiative.
Yes, and going to your second question more deeply, yes, we have set a target of 42% ratio marketing spending on revenue 2017, but I remind what Fabio said before. This is a target which is, in our opinion, sustainable. We think that we can do even better than 42%, in our opinion, thanks to our new marketing approach, this centralized governance, and the fact that we are now able to address in a more efficient manner our resource allocation. And okay, so I would put the attention on this 42% as a ratio that can be considered right to this model to make this model sustainable. And so even considering the possibility with the 42% to restart growing on revenue in a more aggressive way.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Felix Remmers, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Two, if I may. The one on MetaSearch, JetCost.com. I was wondering how much that accounted in terms of EBITDA, if you can give us a rough indication. I mean, we know it makes up 13% of sales, but in terms of EBITDA, I would estimate it would be roughly 40%. Can that be? And on the top line, is there a scenario where top line growth could be negative in H2, given that you cautiously guide for slightly increasing revenues for the full year?
Okay, in terms of contribution to the EBITDA coming from the Meta business is in the region of 35%, so it's not far from what you were mentioning, I think. Yes, the second point is a little bit more complex in the sense that we are trying to figure out some solution, especially in some countries, in order to improve the efficiency of our investment in order to, let's say, rework on the growth path of the flight business. So concentrating and focusing on some specific countries which actually are showing some inefficiency, we are going to be able in the second part of the year to relaunch also the flight business, which is one of the most important, even if the product mix is much more balanced since we have integrated the last minute.
I just want to add, because maybe it's not very clear to everyone, that a important part of the revenue of the Meta business, Jet Cost, come from the group. So there is also some, I would say, transfer price in terms of the group. We don't disclose exactly this data, but what we are saying is that the two models are very linked each other. This was also one of the strategic moves why we bought this business. We are giving also some properties that, till to last year were managed as OTA, today are managed as Meta. So it's Francesco gave the data of, the aggregate number. It's when you go down to try to have a clear contribution of net of the group, it's very difficult to do because of that.
Okay, I understand. Maybe one other question I have is on personal cost. I mean, you're talking about more potential for savings, but on the other hand, talking about new hiring. So I was wondering, I mean, in H2, will be the personal cost rather higher or lower than in H1?
No, for sure lower. H1 2016 will be probably higher. H2 2015 will be lower.
H2 personal costs compared to H1 2016 will be lower.
I made a mistake. H2 2016 compared to first half 2016 will be higher, but H2 2016 compared to H2 2015 will be lower.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that helps. Thanks.
Next question comes from Andreas Netz, AWP. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first question is concerning the acquisitions you mentioned, or the possible acquisitions. In which business area are you mainly looking for targets? And just one follow-up, is there a possibility for another transforming acquisition like last year with Last Minute? And the second question, it seems that you are going to be profitable in 2016. Are you planning to pay out a dividend? Thank you.
So for M&A, let's say that we have a very, as I said before, very active and deep pipeline. So if I answer you, yes, there is a possibility also from some big acquisition. At the end, we have seen that it's easier and give more result to do something big rather than to do something small. I repeat, by the way, our very sound financial position. So we are also talking with banks to have further, let's say, liquidity, and there is really a lot of support from the bank to give us a more, let's say, balance if you want, because it's not very normal to have all this cash. But, of course, we have done and we are looking also at small targets that can complete some of our business line. Then the second question, that is...
In terms of dividends, so we still have not decided yet. For sure, this will depend largely on what is going to happen in the last quarter of this year, mainly linked to eventually extraordinary operations. So, generally speaking, I would say that due to the fact that we are investing quite a lot in, let's say, consolidating the business, producing additional efficiency, increasing our profitability, I would say that most of the cash generated will remain in the company, but this will depend quite a lot also on the eventual change in perimeter that we could be or could exist in the next month, let's say.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Daniele Benatoff, Wenros Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for the impressively well-executed integration. Most of my questions have been answered. The only question that I had outstanding was on the share buyback program. I think you highlighted in this presentation, as you have done in the past, the very low valuation multiple at which you trade in the market. And you also talked about, obviously, M&A opportunities. I'm just wondering how you're thinking about the opportunity to either extend or accelerate your buyback program, which still has some room to go, versus the M&A opportunities you're looking at.
Hi. Yes, buyback to us is a way of investing our money in an efficient manner, substantially, because as you mentioned before, we think that our company is actually underevaluated by the market. And so we think that it's a good investment for us to invest in ourselves. First of all, let me also add that we have at least two plan, rewarding plan and retention plan for our employees, which are based on stock options and some different investment plan, which is in any case based on the share of the company. So we are also buying shares in order to sustain these two plans, because we think it's a good moment also for our employees to think at the opportunity to invest in our company due to the low market valuation, but the future trend that we expect due to the fact that we are delivering a robust business model. So buyback, obviously, could also be a tool in order to have some shares available in M&A or venture initiatives more in order to, let me say, pay innovation through this kind of instrument, which is not only cash but could be also share related. So the investment that we are making in the buyback is not so relevant on our net financial position because we are talking about 2 million, 3 million per semester, considering that we have a net financial position which is higher than 70 million cash positive. So it influences, of course, but on the other end, it's not so relevant. So we think that the plan is on track. We are buying regularly shares on the market up to the limit that we gonna have to respect being listed in SIX that impose some very strict limit on the volume that we can trade every day. So I think that we are doing the right thing for all the reasons that I explained.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Lea Cabezon, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Couple of questions for me. I was wondering which amount of dynamic packages you sold this semester, and what trend do we have to expect for H2? The other question is about the underperformance on the hotel-only segment. Did you see an increase in competition on this segment? What do we have to expect for the future, and what are your plans to improve your performance in this segment? Thank you.
Yeah. So, yes, as we said before, we have a different, let's say, result in dynamic package versus hotels. As we said also in the past, dynamic package is one of the core business for us, and is in the OTA part, is the part that is growing more, and we are very satisfied of the results. We introduced also in these last months the transfer to this in the platform with a very good result. We had an attach rate of 20%, which is better than our expectation. We are a little bit late, so we had this result despite the late in the technology delivery. So we thought that we could have the new platform for the summer. At the end, we are a little bit late, so we're going to implement that in the second part of the year. We did a very important hiring of one of the key developers, a new developer, very, very senior, let's say the number two on that, very expert coming from company, really, Venere and other company in the sector. So we have... given that, we have already very good results. So we think that with a new platform, with new developer, we can even, with the new products we are adding, we can even improve this product. Coming to the hotels, as you said, always hotels for us is not strategic as a standalone business. The only reason we keep a hotel standalone if is to have good fares for the packages. Because in the packages, having our own direct contracts, it makes possible to us to have opaque fares and the top secret hotels, to have a good volume in offering for our customer better deals. And most of the packages are given with the hotel negotiated with the buyer by us. So the hotel, yes, there is a very strong competition. So it's a tactical presence, the fact of staying in the standalone business. As we have more or less, let's say, 50% of the hotel, it's managed with our own inventory, and we are integrated with all the rest. So basically, it's a typical micro-buy strategy. So we try to have, with the core hotels, our own structure where we can have a higher margin. And this strategy is profitable for us. So at the end, the higher margin pay with a good margin, also all the fixed cost of the platform, the team, the location, the hotel. And then we use the other providers. We have integrated at the moment about 20 providers to all the major ones to have a very broad hotel offer. And so we think that this is a good strategy. We will never be, let's say, a competitor of booking in the hotel only, but we think in the package there is good space, and also in the deals we are perceived. We are also doing all these analysis of how the brands are perceived. Lastminute.com, as especially in France and UK, they are the core country for this brand, feel a very good perception as a brand, very good, let's say, positioning. With a special, let's say, positioning for last minute, of course, and deals. And in the hotels, we offer deals, that is a top secret hotel, that is what we sell better in this segment. So, let's say, the positioning in the hotel only is not to be a player that can offer everything, can have a direct competition with Booking, but just a niche player being focused really on the deals, on very good hotels. So this is, I repeat, our brand, main brand for the hotel is Top Secret Hotel, that offer only 4- and 5-star hotels with the best possible fares but giving to the customer the surprise that they don't know, they know only the area of the hotel but the, and then the features of the hotel, but they don't know the name of the hotel as long as they don't buy the hotel. So it's very specific positioning.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Nicolò Pessina, Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon again. One more question on the M&A front. I'm wondering whether media is a new direction for potential M&A deals on top of product and geographic diversification. Secondly, I'm wondering whether geographic expansion remains a priority for the group, which is still very much focused on Europe. And lastly, looking at the results that you reported today, I see that there is, in my mind, a clear trade-off between top-line growth and marketing spending. So I'm wondering if you could give us an idea about how returns on marketing expenditure have evolved and your view in, for the near future.
Yes. So first answer, media, yes. We are, I can say that we are very close to announce, let's say we hope, but very close because we announced a small acquisition, let's say small in terms of price, but very important in terms of audience acquisition in the media sector. That will be very important for us because it will give a great boost in our audience. This is the answer of your question. The second point was about trade-off in revenue versus marketing expenditure. So what we did this year was a very, let's say, to cut all the not profitable investments. So it means that there was some, let's say, product and markets. An example is, I don't know, Meta Search of Hotels in Spain, to give you an example, where we're losing money. So we just cut, this is just, I would say, lack of probably focus on the last year when we had so many things to do in the integration and whatever. So it's a mistake, I would say, because we think that doesn't make sense to have a product country where on a specific thing you lose money. So only cutting that, you have, of course, a better marketing expenditure, but when you cut something that even you're losing money, there is also this cut of volume. For the future, this is also why media is very important, because media give a leverage. Altogether, this year, if you add just cost plus the media, let's say we have a very, very strong over 40 million of revenue on this part, even more, I think. And the leverage is that when we have a very strong audience and that we can even resell this audience, we can even buy more. And so having more audience means having also some more volumes for the OTA, but having also the possibility to resell the audience when they don't buy from our own OTA. So this is the virtual circle that we are trying and we are already doing. And so we think that when everything is set up perfectly in the model we have in mind, this can give us more leverage on that. An example we will see exactly in the second half for us for the moment is an experiment, so we have to see the results. So we try to speak more with the results with facts rather than to ideas. But the budget is, in the budget we don't have revenue on that, but let's say our plan is we invest, we buy only also audience. And then as we have more audience, we have from one end having more volume, and from the other end, that, as I said, is not in our internal budget for the moment, we can have also additional revenue in advertising collecting. And so if this virtual, let's say, system work, it could be very powerful. Because at the end, when you go in this market of, let's say, trading audience, if you want, of course, they are the same player. The same player where you buy audience is the same player where you are selling audience. So there is a lot of efficiency of having a bigger size on this market. I don't remember if there was also a third question.
Geography.
About geography, no. let's say, apart from tactical move, as I said, that we found an opportunity to have jet costs in the U.S. and, I mean, wherever there is a tactical move where we make money in year one in some investment we do, and that is especially with the meta-search where you have to set up everything. In general, we are focusing on our five main countries. That is the same UK, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. And also all the main acquisition we are looking is in this country.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions.
Okay, thank everybody to everybody. It was a pleasure to have this call, and I think we stay tuned because we will have, I think, in the next period some other update, and we will have next call in 6 months. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect the lines. Goodbye.